Welcome to Extreme Genes on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, genies. You have found us. Extreme Genes, America's family history show at ExtremeGenes.com. Fisher here, the radio root sleuth on the program where we shake your family tree and watch the nuts fall out. And wow, what a great time it was in New York City where I was one of the MCs in just one of the theaters for A.J. Jacobs' Global Family Reunion. It was held on the grounds of the 1964 World's Fair. And by the way, it was also the grounds for the 1939 World's Fair. I had attended the one in the 60s 7 times as a boy with my parents. Yes, I counted them. So it was very nostalgic to be near the Unisphere again and within walking distance of the home of my boyhood heroes, the New York Mets. Yes, it's always difficult to be a Mets fan. Anyway, the reunion was fabulous. The speakers were incredible. There were DNA experts, technology experts, rock stars. Yes, Sister Sledge was there to do 2 extended versions of We Are Family. And on one of them, I was able to join a crowd on stage to sing it with them. And they can still bring it. Me, not so much. I also ran into Marilu Henner of television and Broadway fame. Why was she there? I wondered the same thing. So I'll let you hear my taped visit with Marilu. Coming up in just a little bit, she'll be talking about her family history. That's later in the show. Then on this past Monday, my half-second cousin, Jim McCormick of Pawcatuck, Connecticut, joined me for a trip into New York City for a visit to the municipal archives there, where we found some almost unknown records of the 19th century volunteer firemen, which included our common great-grandfather. We found the records of the units he joined and when he left, as well as an affidavit he signed indicating he'd followed all the rules of the department in 1861. You know, there are still more records not digitized that require trips like that. So keep in mind, if you're stuck for information on an ancestor or a family line, don't think that if you can't find what you need on a website, it doesn't exist. Well, the biggest thing that happened at the reunion was a special announcement made by myself and David Allen Lambert, chief genealogist of the New England Historic Genealogical Society and American Ancestors, that he will now be joining Extreme Genes every week to talk about the stories everyone's talking about, as well as new developments in the business of genealogy. David is a good friend, and I couldn't be more excited to have a guy with his expertise and personality join the show. Welcome to Extreme Genes, David Allen Lambert!
Hey, thanks, Fish. Well, the pleasure and honor is all mine. Totally flattered to be part of Extreme Genes every week.
Well, you know, we're a growing thing, and you bring so much to it because you are so knowledgeable in so many areas. And, you know, I should mention that New England Historic Genealogical Society is not just about New England anymore, and it hasn't been for some time. Give us a little background on your organization, David.
Well, NEHGS has been around for 170 years. We're the oldest and founding genealogical organization in the country. In fact, we've grown from being a very small, concerned with New England organization to having such a broad focus that we deal with individuals that came into New England, went elsewhere. We deal with people from Canada, other foreign countries, the British Isles. American Ancestors is our brand, brought to you by the New England Historic Genealogical Society, because we're inclusive for all people.
Wow. David, when did you start researching your family tree?
Oh, a couple of years back when I was 7 years old. I was home from school one day. My grandmother handed me a book and out slipped a tintype photograph of her dad. And, as a 7-year old, you don't realize that people have lifespans. And I said, oh, I've never met him. Where does he live? And she told me he had died in 1921. But, you know, it could have been anything but a photo, but it was a metal tintype photo. So that intrigued me. It was hand-painted. And then she said, oh, by the way, my dad was on a whaling ship. No pun intended, Fish, but I was hooked. And sorry, a little bit.
That'll do it, won't it? You know, it's just so intriguing, and it just so captures the imagination, and that's it.
Well, that's it with genealogy, and that's kind of been my focus since I was a kid, is that I want to know the stories, not just what fits into a chart.
Right.
Names and dates are wonderful. It's like that old poem about the gravestone, looking at the dash. That's what I seek out all the time. You want to know the stories to bring these people back to life, whether it's my own ancestor or somebody comes into the society. I've been honored to work here for 22 years this coming July, and what a rewarding job it is to have people, as you know yourself, listening to your source, where you find something for somebody. You walk away from that day saying you've done something really important in their life, reconnecting them.
It never gets old.
ever. Yeah. It is so much fun. In fact, a little bit later on today, we are going to bring Shelley Smith back on. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago because I was able to help her find her birth mother and identify her birth father. And just the other day, she met her half-brother for the first time, and we're going to have them both on talking about that experience, that emotion, that feeling, the surprise, the shock, all the things that might involve many other people listening to the show who are also seeking their birth family. So that's going to be very cool. You know, David and I share many other interests, and you're going to get to know him in the weeks and months ahead. We share baseball history, a love of that, collecting ancient baseball memorabilia and historic documents, and you can tell a few stories too, David.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I started writing to baseball players when you could still get them on tobacco cards. Smokey Joe Wood of the 08 Red Sox. From that, I've been actively seeking autographs from the 1912 Red Sox. Well, not currently anymore because they're all dead.
They're all gone, yep. All right, well, let's get on with it. Let's find out what's happening in the world of family history and genealogy with our Family Histoire News. Where do you want to start, David?
Well, I mean, a week this month is celebrating the 200th anniversary of what we've probably all heard of, the Battle of Waterloo, or Napoleon's Waterloo, the end of the Napoleonic Wars. An interesting story that's hit the news wires is the fact that it's actually, the battle did not take place in Waterloo.
I did not know that.
Neither did I, and I kind of claim myself to be a bit of a military historian, but apparently I didn't study that chapter too closely because Waterloo was where Wellington's headquarters were and all the dispatches and whatnot, but it was actually a Belgian village south of it called Braine-l'Alleud.
Braine-l'Alleud, that wouldn't work. That would be like where Napoleon met his Braine-l'Alleud.
Absolutely. And
that's
it would
just bizarre.
The ABBA song. I mean, it would be Braine-l'Alleud. Well, the thing about that is it's just fabulous because, I mean, one, it gives you an insightful view that we're still learning history. So on June 18th is the 200th anniversary. Europe is a little up in arms on how do you celebrate it because, you know, France lost, but they're turning it as Napoleon's lost and France was just part of it. So, revisionist history at the best. The other story is near to home, and it's about a man by the name of Dan Vanderkam. And Dan has created a website, oldnyc.org, and that has over 40,000 mapped historic photos of New York City.
Yes, I saw this.
And you have family from there, so have you used it to find some of the locations where your family were?
No, I just saw it this past week. I checked it out a couple of nights ago, and I am amazed. Yes, you can check on the blocks that your people were from. So imagine if you had an immigrant that came in through Ellis Island and made a home in New York for some time, maybe remaining there or moving west or south or wherever it is they may have gone. You can find all these photographs that are on there, mostly from the 1930s, although there are some that go as far back as the 1870s. But you got to remember that the buildings go much earlier than the 1930s. So you can still see 19th century buildings in these photographs. And it is so much fun and fabulous. In fact, somebody had made a comment at the bottom of the website that said, hey, I haven't gotten any work done in the last 3 days because I've been spending all my time looking at this site. We got to give them the address for that. Where can people see this?
Right. It's www.oldnyc.org.
Oldnyc.org. Fabulous.
I'm looking at it right now, looking at just Battery Park at the old Castle Garden, the immigration center
yes.
down there from the 19th century. And it's just there's just dozens upon dozens of photographs. I mean, some from the same angle, but some of them taken decades earlier. You know, like you say, 1870s, 1880s, early 1900s, right through the 1930s and 40s. And you watch the progress of the city being built up around it. And that's just from one vantage point.
And it's been created by this one engineer who just took an interest in doing it as a service to all of us. So how cool is that?
Volunteerism in genealogy and history is one of the greatest gifts I think society can give for all of us interested in the fact. And the pictures were in the public domain from the New York Public Library.
So, yeah, exactly. So you can get them. You can save them.
True.
Do a screen capture and throw them in your history.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd never, if you're a New York City fan, I mean, you'll never get bored with desktop photos. Just go here and grab one every day.
Yep, they're there. They'd be there for most of the rest of your life, I'm thinking.
I would think so.
All right. Now, we were in New York, and as we mentioned, we had a nice visit with Mary Lou Henner. She was the star of Taxi. She's been on Broadway. And you're going to hear our visit with Mary Lou Henner coming up here in our next segment on Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show and ExtremeGenes.com. And welcome back to Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show and ExtremeGenes.com. Fisher here, your radio root sleuth with my good friend, the chief genealogist of the New England Historic Genealogical Society and American Ancestors, David Allen Lambert. And we just had a great time at A.J. Jacobs' New York extravaganza, the Global Family Reunion. And so many folks turned out for the very first time. I was really impressed.
I was, too. I would say that it's the largest group hug that I've ever been part of.
Yes.
Just the attitude of everybody there. Everyone was just so glad to be there, wet grass and all.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, we had so many superstar speakers there, too. I was, of course, emceeing in one of the theaters, and I didn't get to see Henry Louis Gates, but he was there and did a great job. We had C.C. Moore in ours talking about DNA and how that works. And, of course, everybody is getting into that right now. I was so impressed with her presentation. Who impressed you?
Oh, I would say hearing all of the speakers, C.C. Moore, I got to listen to hers completely. That was wonderful. My friend and colleague, Joshua Taylor, he is obviously part of the Find My Past team, and he was out there talking about the TV show he is involved in. And it's just, you know, just kind of getting a sampling, as they were really kind of a sample, not full on our lectures,
right,
of what they're doing in the field. It was kind of like a little mini commercial, if you will. Dr. Gates talked about education and how the curriculum of middle school and high school, maybe introducing genealogy and how he's involved in that, which I think is exciting.
Wow.
Kids have free time.
Yes.
I mean, you do it either when you're young or when you're retired. In the middle, you're raising family or you have, you know, a life that doesn't involve much free time for genealogy. So I think that's a great way. And it's also a wonderful way for students to get a handle on history, because you can see, as I did, where your family fits in.
And you know what the fun part was with all these experts is all of them share the same passion, whether or not they share the same expertise in different areas, but everybody's just so excited about what they do.
And I was running around trying to convert every one of the stars into genealogy if they hadn't already. And I've got a couple under my belt that I think I'll be talking to very shortly.
Yes, and we'll talk about that coming up. But right now, let's listen to my visit with Mary Lou Henner. She was, of course, one of the stars of Taxi back in the day on television. She's been a Broadway star. And I was as surprised as you, David, about what she was doing at the Global Family Reunion.
Well, we're here with Mary Lou Henner at the Global Family Reunion. What is bringing you to this place?
Well, I'm a big family girl. I have six brothers and sisters in my family. We all get together at Christmas. It numbers anywhere between 28 and 42 of us. And if I had to say that the essence of my life has always been family, every single group of people I've ever gotten involved with, whether it's the Taxi Gang or having done the Broadway show Grease, or every time Evening Shade, and you know, every time I do a job, the Chicago family, not only my family from Chicago, but the Broadway show Chicago family, I'm always looking for that family connection because I'm so close to mine.
Coming from a show business family myself, I mean, that's the only thing that can really ground you,
you
think?
Yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah, I know, because there's a lot of people who don't have this, and you feel like there's something missing, you know.
And,
oh, they do. They feel
and look what AJ's done today. I mean, it's just
amazing. I cannot believe how many people are here and how many people seem to be really, you know, excited about it and feeling connected. And it's just this whole idea that we're all cousins and he wanted to do a family reunion. Even running into people in the bathroom seemed a little different. Like, oh, yeah, you know, like, yeah, you're my sister. You're my cousin. You know,
especially if you're in the wrong bathroom.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Now, have you been into researching your dad?
Well, it's interesting. I never even saw a photograph of my grandmother. My parents were first generation. My grandparents all came through Ellis Island. My brother decided to do like a whole family history thing, and he started there, found out a lot of things that we didn't know, and he went to both Poland and Greece, and he found our relatives, some of our relatives, but to this day, I have never seen a photograph of my grandmother, on either side, because my maternal grandmother, she died when my mother was 7, and my paternal grandmother died when he was 8. So,
wow.
Isn't that something? That's kind of sad.
It is very sad. And so I take it you've done some DNA and trying to connect with some folks who might come from some different branches of the family?
Not really. I mean, just the ones that I already know. My mom's got a huge family in Phoenix. My brother did go to Mithoni, Greece. He learned the Greek alphabet, and he knew our two last names. And, you know, my grandparents' two last names. So he walked into a restaurant. He said, "Do you speak English?" And somebody said, "Yes." He says, "I'm looking for a family, Kalo Kaliopoulos or Diktaikis? And the waiter said, me, I'm Diktaikis. Him, Kaliopoulos. Him, Diktaikis. Him, Kaliopoulos. And so he spent the, you know, days on the beach with the most beautiful people I'd ever seen, sun-kissed, happy, dancing. I said, wait, so here's the story. Our grandfather came from a family of eight. Four stayed in Greece. Four came to America, our grandfather, to work hard to provide a better life for their children, our parents. And they worked hard, you know, to live a life of struggle, to live, make a better life for us. We're working hard, living a life of struggle to get back to a beach. It's like, why did we leave? You know, to get out. Why did we leave?
All this for that.
All this for that. But it was great to see relatives. So he did definitely connected with some people, but I do not know a lot of my family history.
So the question would be in my mind, if there are still those people back there who were from the generation of your grandparents,
sure,
might not they
gone.
Have some,
well,
any of those pictures?
Yeah. No, they don't. Nobody had a picture of my grandmother. Isn't that sad?
It is.
I know. It's terrible.
Well, never give up. You know,
okay,
it took me 30 years to find a picture of my great-grandfather from New York hanging on a wall in Salt Lake City.
Oh, see, my husband is was raised Mormon. They have so many family photographs. I mean, definitely the Mormon people who are Mormon definitely know how to do it.
So have you taken a family trip yourself somewhere for research purposes?
For research purposes, no. No, I have not. Here, I had to, you know, Queens.
Well, you're writing quite a history yourself.
Yes, I am.
You know, and as far as that goes.
Yeah, I am. And you know, I'll remember it. So, yeah.
Well, and share it with your family, too. I'm sure takes great pride in all your accomplishments.
Yes. Well, they're, you know, I mean, everybody's very accomplished and pretty special in my family. So we all share in each other's.
What was the highlight of today for you?
Well, that was really fun, singing and dancing on stage with Sister Sledge.
Yes.
I had met them March the 19th of 1982 when I hosted the ABC series Fridays. Larry David was in that. Michael Richards was in that. So many other people were in that. And they were, I was the host and they were my musical guests. So I haven't seen them since that night.
Wow. And here you were.
And here I am. And everybody looks great. Everybody looks the same.
That's true. Awesome. Mary Lou Henner, thanks so much for taking time to visit.
Thanks.
Boy, wasn't that fun. Mary Lou Henner. And David, of course, afterwards jumped right in and said, you need to have your family history work done. I'm your guy. And it looks like she's going to actually work with you.
She did say that she wanted to contact me. And another person I've heard from through Twitter is Ted Allen from Chopped. He's already talking to his mother, wants to talk to me about genealogy.
Excellent. So. Well, another side benefit from the Global Family Reunion. David Allen Lambert, great having you on today. Great having you on every week. So excited to have you as a part of Extreme Genes. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you soon, Fish.
All right. And coming up next, it's a reunion of a brother and sister who never met. You met Shelley Smith a couple of weeks ago. Meet her half-brother coming up next on Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show. And we are back. It's Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show on ExtremeGenes.com. Fisher here, your radio root sleuth. And I am very excited about this conversation we're about to have. As you may recall, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we talked to Shelley Smith about what it took to identify her birth mother and then what it took to identify her birth father, both having passed about 15 or 16 years ago. And as a result of all that research, she's been able to find a half-sister and a half-brother. And only recently, just in the past week, has Shelley been able to actually have that conversation with her half-brother, the first meeting. And Shelley, how has that been for you?
Oh, that's amazing. It was really, really fun to find him and to get to know him and to meet him for the first time.
Well, you know, when you consider you're in your late 50s, it's really hard to imagine starting over with somebody as close as a brother.
Yeah, it's called Happy Endings with New Beginnings.
Exactly. And we have your half-brother on the line right now. Larry Pond is here. Hi, Larry. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I was thinking about what you had to have gone through and the experience of having a cousin actually contact you after 20 years saying, hey, I've got some interesting news for you. Would you take us through that conversation?
Absolutely. I received a call from my cousin, and I got it through a voicemail. I hadn't talked to this cousin for, it's probably been over 20-plus years. And I was kind of, you know, wondering what my cousin wanted to talk to me about, but after I left work that day, I called my cousin, and when I was talking to him, he was telling me that his son took a DNA test, and when he took a DNA test, he found a long-lost, I guess it came through as a first cousin. And as they've been trying to identify how this cousin is related to us, it was a girl that was adopted when she was very young, and she was 2 years older than me. And he said, as they've been tracing things down, it looked like Uncle Harold would be the father of this girl. So I had a half-sister.
Their Uncle Harold and your dad.
Right.
And what were you feeling at that moment when you heard that news?
Mixed feelings between joy and happiness. You know, since my sister passed away, my brother passed away, I felt a loneliness for siblings and a need to have family in my life. And really, when he said that I had a half-sister, I felt love, and I was overwhelmed with joy, and I wanted to talk to her as soon as possible.
And how soon was that?
That was before I got out of the parking garage. I called her on the telephone.
You didn't waste any time, did you?
No. And, you know, right from the start, it clicked. And we were thinking we were on the same wavelength. It was so easy to talk to her. And I shared feelings about my parents and stories that I remember and just millions of expressions and other ideas flashed through my head as, you know, as we talked. And so it was just wonderful.
I can only imagine. Shelley, what was that like for you? You weren't expecting any phone call.
No, I mean, we knew that the cousin was going to contact him, but I wasn't expecting a phone call at all. And I saw this number on my phone that I didn't recognize. And so I answered it, and he said, this is Larry Pond. And my heart just started to beat. And he's like, this is better than Christmas. And that was just such a relief. Like, and he told me that several times. And I almost felt the same way. I'm like, hey, this started with a Christmas gift of the DNA test. And sure enough, it just keeps giving.
Boy, no kidding. I can just feel the emotion as I listen to you both as you relive that experience on that day. And we should mention the fact that your cousin was calling you, Larry, because of Shelley's concern that she didn't want to disrupt your family if this was going to be a problem. And this is good advice, I think, for a lot of people to consider, that it might be a good way to meet new family, a birth family, through someone who is sympathetic to what you're doing, who can act as an intermediary. And it seems to me that that worked out pretty well.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I thought about different scenarios in my life before about, you know, what would happen if this happened or other things. And I had just been talking to someone who had told me that he was switched at birth.
Wow.
And I was listening to his story as he was telling me about it. He was working in my garage. And, you know, that really impacted me, and I thought about it. And the neat thing is when this came along that, you know, I had a sister, I thought, you know, it's really an answer to what I've been looking for, because I felt alone a lot, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect in my life.
Well, and neither one of you, any of us, are islands, and we have a family around us. We have spouses. We have children. We have siblings. Shelley, how has your family taken this news?
Oh, my immediate family is awesome. The kids were so excited. They had heard bits and pieces of this. They had totally Facebook stalked the families and found some pictures. And, you know, we had one daughter that was just, you know, kind of crazy Facebook thing. And so we learned a little bit about them before. And when the phone call came, it was just exciting for me.
What about for your family, Larry? You all got together in the past week over at Shelley's place and got to meet. You had your kids with you. Did the kids mingle with Shelley's kids? Was there any interaction there among the cousins?
There was, and my kids were excited and happy to have new cousins and new friends in their lives and new people to share experiences with.
And certainly heritage as well. Has there been any negative side to this in your family, not only you know, within your immediate family, but among cousins and other relatives?
For me, no. I think someone said to me when I told them the story, and I've told a lot of people this story because it's just so powerful and it's impacted me in so many ways, and you just can't help but share it with other people. And someone said to me the other day, they said, "You mean your dad? Your dad was fooling around?" And I was like, you know what? Yes, if that's what it means. But the neat thing is, in 50 years later, I get to meet my sister and have a relationship with her and her family and meet other people. And the neat thing is Shelley's family and my family, we have a lot of the similar interests, a lot of things in common. And my siblings, we are all 7 years apart.
Wow.
So there was a big gap between kids in our family. And Shelley and I have a two-year gap between us.
Yes, and your kids seem to all be similar ages.
Right.
Mine are a little bit older, but they were very receptive to each other, and that was such a relief, don't you think?
It really was, and my kids had a great time. I have a son who he's preparing to leave to go on a mission for the church, and he leaves in a month from now, and it was just a good experience for him to know that he has other family members that are close and around, and he could feel the love that we all have one for another.
Shelley, you've gone through this process now. What advice would you give to somebody else searching for their birth families?
Oh, wow. I don't know. It kind of consumes your life for a while. You still have to do the day-to-day things, but your emotions are just all tied to finding them and seeing what they will accept you and seeing how they feel. And so I would say go forward with it. You know, times have changed. This is not the 1950s anymore, and there's so many new technology discoveries that will help you find your family, and it has turned out so well for me.
Well, it's a great story. It's obviously had a very happy ending here. Shelley, you've got another meeting, though, to have with a half-sister on your mother's side. What's the status with that?
We're hoping that it will happen very soon. We found the birth mother first, and I knew that I had a half-sister. And we just have made connections, and she lives farther away, and we just haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, but it's going to happen.
Well, we look forward to that. Thanks to both of you for coming on and sharing this very personal moment in your lives.
You're welcome.
Well,
Thanks again.
And coming up in 3 minutes, Tom Perry, the Preservation Authority, is back from TMCPlace.com, taking another listener question. And this is one we hear a lot about. What do we do with this massive job of scanning all the photos? He'll have an answer for you coming up next on Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show. And welcome back to America's Family History Show, Extreme Genes. I am Fisher, your Radio Root Sleuth. That's Tom Perry from TMCPlace.com. He is our Preservation Authority. Hi, Tommy. How are you?
Pretty good. A little bit wet, but otherwise great.
Well, listen, we got a great email the other day at asktom@tmcplace.com talking about reproducing photographs. And, you know, this is something we always wind up coming back to, talking about preservation of the old photos, especially the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, when there started to be an awful lot of pictures, far too many for most of us to actually scan one at a time, framing them up, setting the DPI. There is a solution to this.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the hardest things to deal with is when you have boxes and boxes of photos and you don't know where to start. And like you say, people buy these really inexpensive scanners at like Office Max or someplace, and then they're not happy with the results. And they have so many pictures, they think, I can't really afford to take it into a place like yourselves. So I'd love to, but I have thousands of pictures I need scanned. It's going to take hours and hours to do them. What can I do? And in the case of this young lady that sent us this email, I would suggest what you do is rent a really good quality scanner, because most people can't afford them. Kodak makes an absolute killer scanner, but they're, you know, $3,000 to $5,000. They're very expensive scanners.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And the nice thing about the Kodak scanners is when you rent them, you can get a flatbed and an auto feed. So the majority of your photos, you're going to be able to auto feed if they're in good condition. But then some of the little teeny ones like postage stamp photos, like
wow,
you know, genealogy, family history type things.
Yes.
Those are going to be so small, you can use your slow scanner, which is still fast, but it's a flatbed scanner. So you can put in, if you have ones that are torn or coming apart, have gooey stuff on the back that you can't send through the auto feeder, you can put them on the platen and scan those. So that's what I'd really suggest you do. And just be careful when you're looking at it. There's different DPIs. The best thing to do is do it at the highest DPI you can and always do it in color. Even though most of your old pictures are black and white, you still want to do them in color. And people go, well, why would you want to do them in color? Because you're going to get a lot more pixel count. You're going to get a lot more information. And so when you want to go in and edit them, fix them up, if you have tears and cracks and things like that in it, you have so much more information to be able to fix them and make them look better.
With Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, with Photoshop, you know, digital darkroom, a lot of different programs out there are really nice. Even Photoshop Elements, the smaller one, the kind of the baby Photoshop.
I use it all the time.
Oh, it's great.
It's terrific.
Oh, it is. It's an awesome program. Get these things scanned. Do it now. And the neatest thing about being done in color is when you go in and do the restoration in grayscale, it gives you so many more options, where if you scan it in black and white, you're not going to have the deep grayscales, and some of the pictures aren't going to look very good. Because back then, you didn't have as many professional photographers, so a lot of them, probably mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, great-grandma and grandpa, shot these, and they were point-and-shoot cameras. They weren't able to set white balances. They weren't able to adjust for different lighting. They just kind of point and shot with their old Brownie or whatever. So what you really want to do is you want to be able to scan them in color, so then when you go into Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, you can edit them and do some really good stuff with them.
So these machines don't actually take the photos and bend them around like you would, say, with copying paper.
Right, exactly. A lot of the old scanners were like that. They would really damage your pictures by going through different wheels and pulleys and really cause a lot of problems. But these are basically a straight-through thing. You put them in face first and they go through. Another really neat thing about the Kodak scanner is you can set it to scan both sides at the same time.
Wow.
So if you have dates written on the back and things like that, you're not going to have to go back and look through all your pictures, because A will be the front side, B will be all the information on them. And if they're really, really clean on the back, they'll just go through and they won't scan it if there's nothing else there.
And we're talking about the idea of actually renting a scanner that you can use for your old photographs. If you have hundreds, thousands of old pictures, and the idea of actually manually doing these one at a time is just killing you, this is what you need to look into.
Oh, yeah, this is really awesome. Like we talked about in the first segment, Kodak makes a scanner that's absolutely amazing. And if you want to rent one, you can get a hold of a place called EZ Photoscan, just the letter E, the letter Z, and then photoscan.com. Go to their website, call them, and they'll work with you. In fact, if you mention Ask Tom at TMCPlace.com, they'll give you a discount.
Wow. And what price range does this go in? I would imagine there are different ones for different machines and uses.
Right. Like we mentioned in the first segment, if you want just the sheet feeder, if all your pictures are in really good condition, you can rent that for under $400 a week.
Wow. So if you had it for a week and you split it up with your family members, right?
Uh-huh.
All the siblings, cousins and nephews, and everybody's contributing the photos. If you do this in an organized manner, this should cost everybody maybe $50 a piece. And then at the end, everybody winds up with a digital scan of everybody's pictures.
That's definitely the way to do it. You got to think what your time's worth. Even if you're a homebody and have all kinds of time, you figure about $400, say about $450 if you get the flatbed and the sheet scanner. That's not that much money.
No.
And what's your time worth? You're going to spend at least 16 hours by doing them by hand if you have a few pictures. These things go through so fast. It's just absolutely amazing. And the quality, the DPI, the pixel resolution on them is just absolutely incredible. And another neat thing about the flatbed scanner is if you have like a photo album, those old icky ones we talked about,
right,
where the pictures are glued in.
Yeah, like the 70s.
Exactly. You can take that whole sheet and put it on the scanner, and it'll scan the whole sheet, and then it goes to a window, and it does its best to say, hey, this is this picture, this is this picture, this is this picture.
Sorts it out, separates
exactly.
It.
So 9 out of 10 times, you just hit yes, and it'll take those 6 pictures and give you individual scans of them. If it doesn't get it exactly right, because say there's a lot of white space on it, then you just grab the corners and pull them over to where they need to be. On the ones that aren't good, push the button, and then you got 6 individual pictures instead of just a full page.
Isn't that amazing? So if you have something, say, that has a tear in it, in the picture, will this automatically repair these things, or these are still things you have to go through and fix with Photoshop or Photoshop Elements?
Yes, right. You have them as a JPEG or a TIFF, whichever you choose. Then you do need to go into Photoshop Elements or a program like that to actually clean them up. But I'm the kind of guy, I like them raw.
Me too.
I like to take them if they've got tears, if they've got scratches, take them that way and then fix them yourself, because there's no computer, no matter how smart it is going to have the eye that you have to make it perfect. If you
right.
just want something down and dirty, rock and roll. But I'm really a perfectionist. I want it exactly right. And so I like to get it very, very raw and then go in and clean it up and fix it myself.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'll spend a lot of time on one photo if it's really worth it. And, you know, there was a story out this past week about posting pictures to Facebook, to Pinterest, to Flickr. And they're saying that when you do clean up and you use the right filters on these photographs, you'll get more likes, you'll get more attention to it, you'll get more shares. People like the photos more.
And you do those little things, cleaning them up, make them look better. People are going to enjoy looking at your pictures. Like you mentioned, they're going to like them better. And it's just the best way to go. So this is a really inexpensive and good investment.
All right. Once again, the address for this place
is ezphotoscan.com, and it's just the letter E, the letter Z, and then photoscan.com. Make sure you mention asktom@tmcplace.com, and they'll give you a little extra something special.
All right. Good stuff, Tom. Thanks for coming on.
Good to be here.
Well, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Great to have David Allen Lambert joining us on a full-time basis from the New England Historic Genealogical Society and American Ancestors. And special thanks to Shelley Smith and Larry Pond, half-siblings who just recently found each other through DNA research. If you didn't catch it, listen to the podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and ExtremeGenes.com. Talk to you again next week. And remember, as far as everyone knows, we're a nice, normal family.
This has been Extreme Genes on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Share your family story by going to FamilySearch.org.